It's just like his, like you say, his range is insane. I would believe him as anything, and it would be a character that would keep you guessing the entire time he's on screen. I just think it'd be brilliant.
Oh, he could turn it on in like the conversation like he has with Andy with James Spader with the, like, I'm not going to be pushed around by some soft penis debutante.
All right, guys, welcome to Scotch and Splenda, the podcast that tastes like The Office and gets you drunk like fantasizing your favorite actors and actresses are being in your favorite show. Very similar to last week, actually. Here on Scotch and Splenda, we're talking about anything and everything The Office, but most importantly, theories, side stories, and what ifs. We are your co-regional managers. I'm always AJ.
I'm BJ.
I am Nick.
And we are here on this episode talking about some of our fantasy castings that we want to see put into the series itself, right? So we don't want to talk about Leffy. Remember last week we talked all about some of the fantasy castings we had that we wanted to see maybe some of these roles. Not necessarily we want them replaced, but we want to see what some other actors or actresses would have done in these roles. This time, we're going to be talking about all about these roles that we would just love to see these people come into this world.
Yeah.
As a new thing, as a new presence, as a new being, that's what we want, right? So we're very excited. We understand that maybe that's a little confusing right now, but as this episode continues on, I think you'll get the gist of it.
You'll get the hang.
You will. But first and foremost, guys, make sure if you are listening here with us right now, make sure you are dropping us a 5-star review on the podcast platform that you are listening on. It only takes like 2 seconds, if that. You got to smash that 5 stars. And if you're over on Apple Podcasts, feel free to leave us a review and drop us your fan theory while you are at it. Okay? It's super easy to do. You can also find us on any social media at Scotch Splenda. That's just at Scotch Splenda, no ampersand, no and, no nothing like that. And be sure that you can email us as well. It is scotchandsplendapodcast@gmail.com, all spelled out, one word. And last but not least, guys, you can leave us a voicemail now. It is 319-359-7977. What did I just say, Nick?
319-359-7977.
You got it.
You don't have to talk to anybody.
Not a single soul. You can just drop in there. You can leave us a voicemail, and you can say thanks and hi and whatever you want, or say how much you hate us. I don't know.
We've gotten those. We've gotten those also.
It's happened. So we're here for it. And if you got to take your anger out on somebody, I guess we're here to do that for you. So, but guys, if you're not leaving us a voicemail, then we're going to be able to at least read your fan theory like we're about to read right now.
I got one.
Yeah.
We have one that was sent in to us via email from a fan in Canada.
Canada.
Oh, the neighbors to the north.
Neighbors to the north. Uh-huh.
And that theory is that David Wallace purposely has Michael break bad news. So basically, they outline in the theory here is that Michael is told confidential information from David Wallace that's unpopular information generally. And knowing that David Wallace is trusting Michael to break the news. He's going to always blab it. He's never going to keep it quiet.
So it's part of his plan.
Yep. Basically, instead of having to like call a meeting to deliver this information, he basically gets to just address it after Michael drops it on people.
I see. Okay. So he gets to come in after the fact and just be like, yes, unfortunately, this is the case.
Yep.
Okay. There's lots of instances of this happening. I guess it makes sense. Yep.
There's like the branch closing.
Yeah.
Earlier on with where it was between them and Stanford, but I think that came from Jan.
Yeah, it came from Jan, and it was the board's decision.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But who, on whom's yeah. authority?
The boards.
The boards.
The boards.
But it could have been a directive from David Wallace to Jan saying, hey, tell Michael this information. He's going to blab it to the Scranton yeah. branch.
Well, see, that I think is a point against, because it's like, how does he know at this point? He's never met Michael. He's yeah. never done any of this stuff. So that's why I think in that instance, it's like, maybe that is the cue card
yeah.
as to why he thinks this could happen now. Because he finds out in some way, shape, or form during this time. Because we really hadn't met David Wallace at this point. He's the new CFO.
Yeah,
but we hadn't
true.
Met him at this point. We've had no face-to-face with him.
Yeah.
So we find out that Michael and Dwight figure out who the new CFO is.
Yeah.
They, in fact, go to his house since he's out of the office.
Yeah.
And then...
To try and save the company.
To try to save
Which
the branch.
Which they do successfully.
Obviously.
Or the branch, excuse me.
Yeah, exactly. No, they definitely... Obviously, it's their doing why this
of course.
Branch stays open. So... but
well, he would have met David at the Valentine's Day episode where he goes to New York and
yep.
So he was already established as the CFO. They just never like. What did you say? Did you say we hadn't met David Wallace at that point?
I don't believe he had met actually David Wallace yeah. at that point.
Yeah, in season two Valentine's Day, we meet David Wallace when Michael goes to. New York. Remember, it's the episode where he's like, I got to swing by my favorite New York, get my favorite New York slice. And it's a Sahara.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. That's season two. So the branch closing happens in season three. So he's already an established character at this point.
Okay.
All right. Okay. I'm going to let you have that. Fine.
Yeah.
Can I just present another instance of where this happened? Buffalo Branch.
Oh, AJ's that's the favorite. Biggest one.
AJ's yeah. favorite moment in all of The Office.
It's great.
He tells Michael in confidence. Damn it, Michael. I told you that in confidence.
Why would he tell them that in confidence?
Yeah.
Why on earth yeah. would he do that? Like, it doesn't make any sense.
Yep.
This all goes way back to, like, I think episode 4 or 5 of our podcast where AJ dropped his big theory of... David Wallace is kind of like the downturn, if you will, of Dunder Mifflin, and he's a terrible leader for the company, right?
Yeah.
And nothing is more true than pairing with this theory of him giving confidential information to middle management and then it getting out.
Yep.
And then back up a little bit to the branch closing episode. Never in the history of managing would somebody tell someone they're getting fired before confirming that the person they're essentially promoting, so Josh,
yeah.
accepted the job.
Yep.
So in every right. normal workspace, they Jan would have gone to the Stanford branch first, would have talked to Josh in confidence, been like, hey, we're going to close the Scranton branch. You're going to absorb 6 of their employees over here. And then you're going to take all of their clients and all their sales, like, and you're going to be now what's called Dunder Mifflin Northeast or whatever.
Northeast,
it was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then he would have, in this world, he would have then said, no, I'm actually accepting a job at Staples. I'm going to leave the company. And then Jan would have gone back to the board. The board would have said, fine, we'll close Stanford then. Michael can take it over. And then never that episode wouldn't have happened in real life because Jan would have just gone to Michael and been like, hey, the Stanford branch is closing. Josh is leaving the company. Jim and 5 other people are coming back.
Right.
I think that Jan was just so excited to, in her head, be rid of Michael and all of the constant headaches.
Be rid of Michael
she was
Scott.
Like, she was like, oh my God, I can't keep it. I can't keep it to myself any longer. No. I've just got to do it. She was too excited.
Maybe she was too excited. Maybe Jan was that before Michael came. Like he really knew Michael. Maybe that was the thing. Maybe it's like
Jan was the person who couldn't keep a secret.
Yeah, she couldn't keep a secret. Like as we learn later on, Jan is very much just like a volatile like presence in anything.
Well, that's another instance too that's listed here in the theory is where he's talking about with firing Jan. Like he interviews Michael and then tells him that, like, hey, you're replacing Jan.
Yeah.
We're getting rid of her.
And
then she comes in and he's like, frankly, it's long overdue.
It's long overdue. Yeah. But it's with, but so, you know, Jim Jim and Karen are there too.
Yeah.
And you know what? The other thing, here's another thing. Maybe this has been brought to light before, but Oscar, when he tells the accountants that he's already sold his condo,
yeah,
that he's already talking to them. He's talking to Oscar and Angela and Kevin basically and saying, yeah, I've already done this. Like, Michael, you should never sell your condo. And then, but at one point, you have Oscar who says, maybe you should find out more before you, like, do this or commit to this.
You think Oscar
Meaning,
knew?
I think Oscar actually knew about Jan being moved on because I think that he was savvy enough to understand what was going on, or he knew to a degree
that
Jan was going to be fired. Because I know that Angela is like head of accounting, quote unquote. I think mostly Oscar, though, actually has a handle on what's going on. Angela's too caught up in like the petty bullshit of like what the Scranton branch is, whereas Oscar is always looking out at the whole entire company.
Yeah.
Like, AKA when the whole company's like going upside down.
Well, and they've got the shareholder meetings.
Shareholder meeting, all that stuff. And I think that Oscar actually had a lead on that point. So I think that there may have been more understanding of it than was led on.
That's fair.
But that being said,
well, the shareholder meeting's another great example of this too.
Like, yeah.
Like
that's him very giving true.
Michael way too much information, and then Michael blurts out like the company. We're going to sell the company.
You know, we're going bankrupt?
We're going bankrupt?
Yeah.
And
we're going bankrupt, do you think?
You think?
It's like, oh my God. Why would you ever say that in front of a hot mic? Why would you ever, ever say like...
What in the world is wrong with you?
If the company's not going bankrupt in front of a hot mic. That could be another instance. You're right, BJ.
Yeah. And I think... Man. So really this theory... Let me throw a breakdown in here, okay?
You got it.
So this theory comes down to two things. You either can accept that David Wallace is stupid or he's a coward. And what I mean is he is so stupid that he is willing to give confidential information to Michael, truly thinking that he's not going to spill the beans and he's going to announce it correctly, or he's a coward.
Over and over.
And he's purposely giving Michael Scott confidential information so he can be the bearer of bad news, and he can kind of come in on the backside and bat cleanup. And so it's which one of these two people does David Wallace want to be? Does he want to be stupid, or does he want to be a coward?
Well, I think he's, oh man, I don't know that he's a coward, but I don't think, and I mean, I know that he's obviously the downfall of Dunder Mifflin as is. I know that, but I'm not saying that he did it stupidly. I'm just saying he did it ignorantly. I mean, maybe there's a difference there.
I just can't imagine that after the first time Michael was given that level of information and he blabbed it to the entire office, that they would continue to give him that level of information again in the future.
Why would he, and which brings again to light that whole thing, he has told them time and time again. He let it slip. And then David Wallace, sure enough, the Buffalo branch closing, let's go right back to the picnic. Like, yeah, damn it, Michael. I told you that in confidence. Why would you tell him that in confidence?
Why would you tell him at all?
Why would you tell him at all?
Yeah,
because he's stupid.
Because he's stupid. Oh, my God. David Wallace is stupid.
Yeah.
Oh.
Or the theory is true and he's a coward. He can't look his people in the eye and give them the news. I mean, it's got, in my head, it's one of the two. I mean,
unfortunately, he had to look a lot of people in the eye at the picnic.
Yeah.
There have been talks about
we're a picnic today.
I had a little kid come up to me and ask if his daddy was going to have a job at Christmas. He's just thinking about his own presents.
Because that's what Michael would be doing. Oh, okay, fine.
So let's vote it one way or another.
It's kind of like what is the worst? Like, what do you think it is then, Nick? What do you think?
I think no. I think that David Wallace is just too trusting of an individual, and keeps giving Michael more and more chances than he should give him. I don't think that he's stupid. I think that he is naive in that aspect.
You think he's just like he's too trusting. He gives too many opportunities. Yep. I think it's like he's too nice.
Yeah.
Of a guy to be in the position that he's in.
Or so, he's trying to like, or this is the level of information that they give all of their branch managers, right? But he keeps giving Michael that information too, thinking maybe he's matured or maybe my vote is no. I don't think he's purposely giving Michael the information to break it to the employees. I think he's just continuing to trust Michael when he probably shouldn't.
All right, that's fair enough. Yeah, I think I'm right there with you. I think that I am in the boat of, I think David Wallace, as we know, I think Michael's at least still a good judge of character for the most part. And he thinks David Wallace is a nice guy too. So I think that David Wallace is just a nice guy and he just keeps getting brought in by that Michael Scott charm.
Yeah.
And telling him things in confidence because Michael Scott is such a great salesman. And he just unknowingly tells these things to Michael, thinking he's telling them in confidence.
Because there's stuff like the Buffalo branch where, like, I can see why that's some information maybe he would have told her. If they needed to have some sort of, like, a plan in place to mitigate some of the, like, customers or some of the accounts with that. Or, like,
right.
If they were talking about potentially bringing one of the employees, like, oh, they have family in the Scranton-Wilkes-Barre area. They were talking about moving down. Do you think you could absorb that employee?
Right.
Like, that sort of stuff. Those are conversations I can understand why he would have told him that information. Mm-hmm. But, like, why would you just keep telling him?
You just keep telling him shit. I think he's just too nice. I think he's just like, he gets too comfortable with Michael too quickly.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. What about you, BJ?
I don't think he's doing it on purpose. I think he's stupid.
Yeah.
I think I think David Wallace, the more and more I think about it, the more and more I agree with your theory that he is part of the downfall of Dunder Mifflin and his leadership and the way he leads. And everything
AJ's aggressively fist pumping.
Everything operational that guy does is backwards. It's wrong. Yeah. If you don't want to call him a coward and you don't want to call him stupid, then you can at least admit that he's a gossip in a sense.
Yeah. Yeah.
Where he likes to gossip about company news with his, you know, quote
subordinates.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Or, no kidding. Know,
and it's like
Michael is his subordinate. Like
yeah.
That's
yeah. And so he just, you know, he's like, oh, here's the hot. Hey, Michael, you know, I know it's a company picnic, but I just had to tell you, we're closing the, you know, like he's just a gossip. Like, and I think that's part of the downfall of the way he operates. So no, I don't think he's intentionally doing it so that Michael can be the bearer of bad news. But I do think that he is dumb. Like, I think the way that he operates is dumb. Maybe he's not dumb as a person, but
sure.
There you go. Okay. Yeah, I did. I aggressively fist pumped at that moment because BJ did acknowledge that David Wallace is the downfall of Dunder Mifflin.
He's starting to see the light.
He's starting to see the light. And you know what? This also brings me back to the point, though, that it makes me wish that J.K. Simmons was, in fact, David Wallace. So that way, I feel like I would have a much better time blaming J.K. Simmons than Andy Buckley, to be honest.
I know. Andy Buckley's like the nicest guy on the planet.
I know. I love Andy Buckley, and I just like, you know, I wish it was J.K. Simmons because I feel like I could get away with blaming the farmer's insurance guy. So, yeah. Well, that's a fun one, though. Where'd that come from? Kanata?
Canada.
All right, I'm down for
email
that.
Email from Canada.
Canada. Well, that just
speaking of
sounds
Canada,
good.
They make really good whiskey up there.
Canadian whiskey?
We're drinking a 26-year Canadian again today. No, I'm just
no,
kidding.
We're not.
No. We're drinking Crown Green Apple today.
Hey,
we are.
No,
I gotta go.
We're drinking salted caramel black velvet today.
Oh God. this will be great to cook with.
Why don't you tell us what you're actually drinking today, Beach?
So today I brought it's Bullet Bourbon. It's a single barrel. It's 104 proof, so 52%. It was a store pick. Store here locally picked it in Iowa, and I have had it. It's fantastic. I hope the Splendor rating represents how tasty it really is. So what do you say you pop that bottle open and let's give her a drink?
You got it, Daddy.
Oh, there we go.
Ooh. Give it a sniff. Give it a sip.
It's got a great nose to it.
Okay. Oh, that's warm.
It is. It's a little hot.
That's warm.
104 is not bad. It is. It definitely is a little more abrasive, I guess I would say, than like the Infinity Barrel that we drank last week.
Yeah.
You can tell when a whiskey's a little more aggressive because like you start that salivating. Like
I did.
Your tongue gets the tingles. You start to salivate like when it hits you.
100%.
It's got a good bitterness to it on the back end that I like. It's not too sweet.
It's not too sweet. It's warm for a long time.
Yeah. It's just sitting here in my throat right now.
If I was gonna talk about this and people in terms that people who don't drink whiskey like will talk about it, it's wow, it's warm for a long time. It's just like it just will not go away. It just won't go away.
It's like a bowl of fettuccine right before a 5K charity run. Like it's just a hot ball of lead.
It's just sitting like
a... No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, it's just sitting like a brick in my stomach. It's just... But you feel it all the way down. Just carbo loading. Oh, carbs. Oh.
Damn it.
Dude.
I like it, though. I dig it.
I don't mind it. It's like I know I'm getting a little bit aggressive with my descriptions, but it's actually... I think I'm just comparing it to last week, honestly, because last week was like really kind of soft and like nice and
very
comfortable
nuanced.
And this is, I think this is, if you're like a whiskey drinker, then you're like, oh yeah, that's what I want. I want this kind of more burn to sit around.
Yeah. Oh, that's a good one. I dig it, Beej. Thank you for sharing.
Yeah. Very, very warm. Yeah. Oh.
Where's your Splendor rating?
That's a three-quarter packet.
Three-quarter.
Three-quarter.
Okay. I'm okay with that.
That's a three-quarter right there. Whew. Yeah, that second and then the third sip was even hotter. So I was like, wow.
Do you need to sit for a second and evaluate again?
No. I think I had to keep adjusting as I was going on through my three sips. I'm a three-sip guy. Okay, I'm not just going to judge it off the first sip.
You're Dave Portnoy from Barstool with the pizza reviews.
No, I'm not. I'm not one bite.
One bite, everybody knows the rules. Take seven bites.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know, you got to taste the first bite, the crust, you know. Check
AJ's,
and flop.
AJ's looking at the bottom of the glass. He's like, it's got a great undercarriage.
Great undercarriage. Great carry. Great carry. No, dude. But like, yeah, I think three quarters because I was like, I think that's probably a half. And then my second sip was more like, oh, I could maybe go a little less, like maybe to a quarter. And then my third sip, I was like, nope, that is hot. It's as hot as I think. It's a three quarter. That's what it is. So
that's a good one. I dig it.
Okay. So what are we here to talk about, guys? We doing fantasy casting? What are we doing?
We're doing the people, actors, actresses that we want in this show that never made it to this show. Okay. And I'm not talking about like we're going to recast other people. We did that last week. Okay. Now, if you've got something that lingers in, that's fine. We've been kind of crisscrossing ever since last episode, last week. And so that's okay. But we're talking about the characters that could be created by new actors and actresses, by some of our favorites, okay? And I don't mind giving you guys an example if you would like.
Sure, hit me.
Okay, so some of this actually stemmed from a Facebook group that's out there in the world that they were talking about how, look, you've got Champ Kind, you've got Brick Tamlin, you've got Brian Fantana, you've got Ron Burgundy, and like three of them made it onto the show.
Yep, you're just missing Paul Rudd, Brian
You're just
Fantana.
Missing Paul Rudd. And I was like, dude, I would love to see Paul Rudd on The Office. I would like to see him as like some sort of almost not anti-Jim, but like the Jim from another branch.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Like, yeah.
Yeah.
He's like, he's like super relaxed. He's super chill. And like, he probably gives the camera like a goofy look as well. You know what I mean? Like, only get to meet him because like he came from Stanford, but he just didn't fit in and he decided to do something else.
Yeah.
And then he goes to like Philadelphia and starts a company or something.
Yeah.
He does what Jim wants to do, but he does it before Jim.
I want to see Paul Rudd's character thinking that him and Jim are best friends and he's like pranking Jim and Jim's just not fucking having any of it.
Yeah.
He's just like a stick in the mud, like, oh man, maybe being on the other side of this is not always so fun.
Yeah. He's got his Paul Rudd hair. It's a little bit long and stuff.
Yeah.
But he's also wearing like gym attire, like a blue tone shirt.
Yeah.
With a tie that's a little undone, you know, loosened up.
Rolled up sleeves and everything.
Rolled up sleeves.
Yeah. Very,
and like
very
he's just standing. I just imagined him standing opposite of like of Jim. And Dwight is in the middle, like looking between. Like, oh my God.
Like, no.
There can't be two of them. There can't be two of them. And then that's like Dwight has to like root him out or something, you know, convince him to go another place. He could have been a Danny Cordray. I mean, like, he could have been anything.
Yeah.
Dwight and Jim
kind of team up against them, even.
Yeah.
And I can see Paul Rudd's character like flirting with Pam at the reception.
Yes.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Dude, I'm serious. Like, how great would that be? You know, like,
love that.
Or he could have been a mysterious warehouse worker. You know, like this new mysterious warehouse worker that was like kind of sexy to Kelly and Phyllis and Michael.
Meredith is like always trying to put the moves on and make really
Meredith
uncomfortable.
Is like, yeah, Meredith thinks he's like kind of hot seeing him walk in every morning or something. You know what I mean?
Like, you get almost like the Meredith and Pete later on where she's like, hey, new Jim, come sit on my face.
Yeah.
Like, no, thank you.
No, thank you.
That sort of thing all the time. She's just like, he's down there in the baler and she's like, hey, I got something you can stuff
you can
with
bail. Mom.
And he's like, no, thank you, Meredith.
No, thank you, Meredith. Okay. He gets along great with Daryl and Roy.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. Oh, man. Paul Rudd would be hysterical.
It
would
have been great, man. There are so many places for him to be, I feel like. And I'm just so sad that he wasn't a part of it. So there's my first inkling into this.
Do we have any limits on like how big an actor or actress we can go?
I don't think so. I don't think there should be.
You know who I want as like a senior executive? Give it to me in like the shareholders meeting. Okay. I want Tom Hanks.
Tom Hanks.
Like a senior executive. But I want him to be a bad guy. I want a Tom Hanks that's like a fake nice to your face, but is like a real cut your throat to get ahead type of guy.
Dude, that is golden. Oh my God.
As a senior exec in the company.
And I want there to be a moment where he ends up feeling like he has to like run away from something, and he ends up running like Moe's or Forrest Gump, just as a quick reference, you know, like the very pointy hands.
I really want the reveal to be where like Michael thinks that they're on the same side on some issue.
Yes.
And he like tries to like, oh, hey, we're buddy buddies. And Tom Hanks is very much not on his side.
But Dwight realizes he's like Senator Palpatine.
Yeah.
That's what he realizes.
Oh, man. I think Tom Hanks would be a great like senior exec in the company who's like a real sort of shisty guy.
He would have been great for like...
What if he played he been cast a, him a, the CEO?
He could have like been Alan Brand even.
Yeah, he could have been Alan.
Cast him against type, because everybody's going to assume Tom Hanks comes in and he's like the nice guy. He's really chill. Like, and have him be the nice guy for a minute.
And then he's
like the turn around and stab you in the back. Like, he's not your friend type of guy.
You know what happens?
What?
Is he ends up... He ends up being this like that exactly, and then you find out from David Wallace, and he's the reason that David Wallace sucks so bad at his job, and it's not actually David Wallace who's the downfall, it's the CEO, Tom Hanks' character, who's been feeding him all this bad information,
yep,
because Andy Buckley is a saint.
Yes.
Yeah. That would be so, oh my gosh. And he's like,
that would be the best.
I specifically told you to tell all the branch managers that Buffalo was closing in confidence. And David's just like, I did, but Michael let it slip. And he's just like,
yeah. It's just like, he's the one who's been pulling the strings. And then we find out that he like leaves the country or something. Or
oh,
like,
man.
After the shareholders meeting.
I think that would be a great character to have as like a little mini villain arc.
Yeah. It's like a small Tom villain. Hanks. And that is why they had to get bought out. Like,
yeah.
He had the Enron scam where he like sells off all the stock first, and then he sells the company to Sabre, and he moves.
Oh my gosh!
And he moves to Costa Rica and ends up being best friends with Toby.
He recognizes Toby and pushes him off the zip line.
Yeah, he pushes him off the zip line.
he realizes that Toby's going to spill the beans about seeing him in Costa Rica.
Oh my gosh! We just tied this together well.
Okay, I got a fun one here.
All right.
Hit me.
What if they got Ashton Kutcher to play as a guest star as Brian or as Kevin's brother? Like after the reference.
Yes.
After the reference, and it's like Kevin's brother shows up, you know, for work or whatever. They're out for drinks, and he's like, "My brother's here." And Ashton Kutcher comes in. He is dressed in a very sharp suit. Looking devilishly handsome, and he's smart as a whip. And
my God.
Oscar, like, is in love with him.
And they're twins.
Angela's in love with him. Like, and no one can understand, like, what happened. I don't know. You know?
They're
just dumbfounded.
Like, I want him to establish that, like, in high school, Kevin was always like the funny, handsome, popular one.
The football star or something.
And that Ashton Kutcher was always like the band geek nerd.
Yeah.
Here's a picture of us in high school, and it's showing them as the opposite. Yeah. It's just
like, real ugly duckling, am I right?
Am I right? Oh, dude, that would be phenomenal. And you're absolutely right. Like Kevin does, and that's exactly why Kevin doesn't understand why people think like he might not be attractive in some way. I just need a clip of them both like shotgunning M&Ms together. I need to just tie it together.
I really badly want Ashton Kutcher's character in this to have like these like deep-seated self-esteem issues because of their time in high school and stuff.
Yeah.
And like he still thinks that Kevin is the more handsome and smarter brother.
Yep. Yes. Yeah, they're out for drinks. Perfect. He's like, Kevin was always the cool one.
And then, Kevin was always the cool one.
Oh my God.
Says something really stupid, and Ashton's character is just like, gosh, isn't he the funniest? He's just, everything he says is gold. Like,
I really want him to be like a Wall Street mogul, and he'll be like, I know, it's just, I've always been a nerd. It's just the numbers, I guess, or something like that. Like this very cool, very like rich job that he like downplays to be some shitty, nerdy occupation.
And then,
and this is like, me and Kevin, we both went into accounting together, but he's like a Wall Street mogul and Kevin works at Dunder Mifflin in the accounting department.
I love that so much.
It'd be even better if like they were like he references like Kevin playing poker a lot. Like he's such a numbers whiz.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
he's so good at poker. Like, hey, you guys want to play poker? Like that kind of thing.
God, what a missed opportunity.
It's so good.
Holy cow, would that have been good?
Oh man. Good call, bro. I think I have another fun one that's kind of interesting, I thought. I didn't know how to bring this up like last time, like in our last episode, because it is very similar. But then I realized like who I actually wanted this person to play. And again, we're taking this back to fantasy. So it could be the past. They could be alive. They could be dead. They could be in the, you know, whatever it is. And so one thing that I thought of was, I thought about Robert California. I thought about like D'Angelo Vickers. I thought about, you know, those kinds of guys, especially during the job hunt, you know. And I thought to myself, you know what? I like Robert California, but you know who I would have rather had him had play him? Who? Philip Seymour Hoffman.
Nice.
Oh, man.
Dude.
Yes.
Can you imagine him walking in with like a full like double length scarf like wrapped around him and just like I'm saying, man, like just him striding into that place like just full on like his character in what is it? Along Came Polly.
Yeah. Yeah.
And just him strolling into that place just full confidence and nothing ever breaks his confidence.
Yeah.
And like
Rain Man.
Rain Dance.
Yeah, imagine him in the basketball episode.
Oh my gosh. And then they
take him back
they
to
get
season
to,
one.
They get to repeat the basketball episode. Oh, yeah. Are you kidding? And he's just entirely confident in his ability to shoot like threes and stuff.
Yeah.
And oh man. But like he is a very cultured person, but for some reason he just can't put it together in Scranton.
Yeah.
I just would love that so much.
That would be excellent. He's just got so much range. Like he's been in everything. Like he was Truman Capote and he was also the doofy hippie guy in Twister. Like, yeah. You know what I mean? Like he's played everything.
And the big nerd in oh shoot, Boogie Nights.
Yeah, he
you know?
Plays. He like, plays a shockingly sinister villain in Mission Impossible.
There
3.
You go. Like
he's terrifying in Mission Impossible 3.
Yeah, I mean, it's just like his, like you say, his range is insane. Yeah. I would believe him as anything, and it would be a character that would keep you guessing the entire time he's on screen. I just think it'd be brilliant.
Oh, he could turn it on in like the conversation like he has with Andy with James Spader with the like I'm not going to be pushed around by some soft penis debutante. Like how much more scary, how much more menacing is that conversation coming from Philip Seymour Hoffman instead of James Spader?
I know. And it's already scary from James Spader, but like if he goes Mission Impossible 3, like man, that gets very scary. If he goes like Mockingbird, like Hunger Games, like it gets scary.
Yeah, dude. Oh man, he would have been great.
I just thought it was like such a fun time, like to for the idea of him to be like on screen in that setting, and the way that they shoot that show, it would have been phenomenal. So
yeah, he would have been very good.
Yeah,
Nick, you got one.
You know who I want as a large client for like one episode is Nicolas Cage. Like a zany weird like buyer for a company that's just very like I want him to be Kevin Nealon in Happy Gilmore.
Yeah,
I want him to be that character, the very like, oh man, you just got to get your chakras right, you gotta like I want him to be that guy for like an episode, and like, but I want him to work with Dwight.
And he,
who doesn't know how to handle him or what to do.
And I want him to ask for like the most sustainable paper they have.
Yeah.
You know, but it's just like, it's paper, dude. Like,
I want Nick Cage bad as like a zany, weird buyer for a large company that Dwight's trying to lock down.
Yeah. Do you have a hemp paper? Like, that's what I want.
Yes. I think that he would be hysterical. I think it would be really fun to bring him into the office and have him do like a meeting in the conference room to see how he would interact with some of the other characters.
For sure.
Because I think especially if it was later seasons and you got like late seasons Ryan, that's very like, I'll just buy into whatever type of, I think that they would have been a very funny dynamic between the two of them.
Yeah, yeah. I agree.
Oh, that's a fun one.
Yeah, for sure. BJ, you got what else you got, man?
I got a couple more, but one I absolutely loved. I did see this one online, but it's Nick Offerman coming in playing Dwight's dad.
Oh, God. Just like his dad. Oh my gosh.
Like Nick Offerman, very Parks and Rec, you know, like stone faced, like outdoorsy, the opposite of Dwight, where he's like really good at hunting, really good at all the stuff that Dwight thinks he's really good at, you know, and he's just like a disappointed dad.
Yeah.
For Dwight.
Like, no matter what Dwight does, he's just always like that. He's the impossible to please father.
Yep. And he's just so disappointed in the way the farm runs and everything else. And that I just imagine like him looking down at his beeper and his cell phone on his belt loop and just being like, I raised you better than
he would
electricity.
Have to be,
you know?
He would have to be completely clean shaven like he is in that one episode of Parks and Rec where like Tammy 2 comes back.
Yeah,
Tammy 2. And he has to be completely clean shaven with that full size phone on his belt and like look really good and everything. Dude.
This could be such a good opportunity to like humanize Dwight to Jim and have that be like a good... growth between their relationship as friends, where it could be an instance where like I'm just picturing Dwight trying to like tie some complicated knot and like he's nervous and fumbling over it and his dad is like, oh my god, give me that, and like takes it from him and just whips it up or whatever, just, and he's and like you can just see like the disappointment in his face and then like the shame with Dwight and, how that could be a very
Jim was reveling in this, but now he starts to see it's not a good thing.
And
then like, it plays into him becoming a father.
Maybe this is why Dwight is the way that he is type of thing.
Exactly.
Like it could have been a great humanizing moment.
Yeah. I like that. Oh my gosh. Nick Offerman.
Yeah.
I like that dude. Good call. I do have one more. Well,
hold on. Can I?
Can I usurp
you for a moment?
Please Please do.
Can I get coming in as just a quick supporting cameo? In the episode where Angelo Grotti is trying to sell the insurance, where Michael shuts him down, I want his sales manager to come in and try and close it car dealership style, and I want that to be Joe Pesci.
Joe Pesci. Just like
very God. Just come in full on Goodfellas Joe Pesci. Like, and have him be the guy who's like trying to push everything, and he just leans so hard into the mobster angle.
And I feel like it should keep growing from there. And like next, like first it should be Ray Liotta, and then it should be Joe Pesci, and then after that it's Robert De Niro. And it just keeps getting more and more intense until finally you see Scorsese walk in the most like
he's. Just have
like
Scorsese,
the nicest guy.
Have Scorsese as like a passing. They're in like a conference room. Scorsese walks by as like the CEO and just past the big picture windows. Yeah. You don't even get like a full cameo. He's just also
a quick
there.
Like shot, like a quick zoom shot that follows him and traces him.
He's just. Oh, I just want Joe Pesci to come in and start explaining like the logistics of like risk analysis, etc. And just this like hardcore New York accent. Yeah. He's very like, oh man, I think that would be outstanding.
Yeah, exactly. Dude, that would be phenomenal.
Oh, he brings, they're doing the meeting at their office. That's why they're all there. And he brings along like Dwight and Andy, but he also brings along Oscar as his numbers guy. And Oscar's like the only one who's like, this is definitely the mob. Yeah. And everybody else is just like,
God, like how do you not know that this is him? Like it's obvious. And then they all have to go out and they all have to get into like a Cadillac Eldorado or something like that. Like, I have one that's the problem is like I can't think of anything, but at the same time I can think of everything for this actor. Okay. Literally anything that you want. Like I don't care. Just come up with a random thing and I'm like, yep, put him in there for that role. And it's Woody Harrelson.
Yes! I was just thinking Woody Harrelson. You know where I want him?
Where?
I want in the episode where they close the New York office and that guy comes in and hassles them about taking New York clients. I want that to be Woody Harrelson.
Dude. I just like he could be a tough guy.
I'm not joking. I'm gonna pull up my phone so you can see this list and see.
Oh my god!
Like, I was just thinking Woody Harrelson.
I'm like Woody Harrelson, and I'm like I don't care what he does. I just want him in there. He could even be like kind of like a sort of like unconfident kind of guy, almost like in Kingpin, or he could be like,
yeah,
he could be a real intense person, like he's played 100 times.
Oh yeah.
He, you know, he could be a cop. He could be in the warehouse. Oh, he could be a mid-level executive. He could be anything. And I'm just like, I don't know how to pin you down, but at the same time, I kind of love that. I just want Woody Harrelson to just come in and just do something.
He would be so excellent.
As what?
Just period. He would be so good.
I just like...
He would just be... Like, Woody Harrelson is just so good.
Yeah, I know.
Like, he would come in and just be hysterical in whatever he's in, I'm sure.
I agree with you. Like, I'm just thinking to myself, I'm like, how do I just like force him into something? Like, yeah. How do I just shoehorn him into a role? And I'm like, I don't have to. Like, I don't have to.
He is a cop. Who
you know what that
takes
was?
The statement when Andy gets beat up by the fifth year, the yeah, fifth grade yeah. girl. He's the cop who comes in and takes a statement on that.
So, who was it? What, so is a girl? Is it a girl? No, it was a guy. Okay, well,
and his and his partner is some other big bad like Thomas Jane from The Punisher. Like, that's the partner who's with, and they're both just like so emasculating to Andy. Yeah.
They're an intimidating presence to just Andy, like all together, and just like,
oh man.
Or if those two kept being the cops that like showed up like outside the dinner party.
Yes. Like, not now, Dwight.
And they know Dwight.
Yes.
If Woody Harrelson and Thomas Jane just kept showing up as the two cops in Scranton on that side of town, dude, I would be all here for it. They show up at Poor Richard's, or you see them drinking in the background at Poor Richard's off duty.
Yes.
Or just like anything at all, man. Oh my God. That's the best thing ever.
I did not mean to interrupt you. Go ahead, B.
No, that was just that pause when you when you stopped all of a sudden. All I could think about was, I am assistant regional managers. Part of my duties are to what?
To what?
He just, oh man, Woody Harrelson would just be so good.
Oh, dude, that's great. Holy shit.
Okay, can I jump on the cop thing? Because I had a cop one.
All right, please. Hit me.
Thomas Lennon, as part of he is the sheriff.
Reno 911.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So sorry. Yeah. So Thomas Lennon, he's Lieutenant Dangle in Reno 911.
Dangle.
He's like the sheriff that Dwight has to report to, and you find out like Jim making fun of Dwight for like being a fake cop, whatever, volunteer sheriff's deputy, all this stuff, and then you meet his boss, who's Lieutenant Dangle. And you find out, like, maybe they do need Dwight on the squad. Like,
they're just crazy incompetent.
Who they also have deputies who are, who's Thomas Jane and Woody Harrelson. Yeah. But Thomas Lennon is their superior officer.
I Dude, love that.
That would be phenomenal. And you know what? Just to pull something out of the Reno 911 world. Is I want his thing to be that he's always wearing a different pair of boots or shoes. I just want it to be like all Thomas Lennon does, and it's like it's very subtle every single time he's on screen, but for some reason it's always a full body shot like from the distance, and you always see he's wearing like
it's white boots
or red shoes.
Yes.
Or just like green, like bright neon green.
Yes. Something different every time.
Just every single time, even if it's the same day. It's like, I just want that to be a thing.
You know, one just
then
hit
you
me.
Then you got to pull concierge
tucked into
Marie
cowboy
back
boots.
In. Yeah.
Tucked into the cowboy boots for sure. He's got to be able to show them off. He's not going to hide most of the boots.
He's got Chuck Taylor's on, but he decided to cuff his pants. Like something like that.
I had one hit me a minute ago while I was sitting here. You know who I want as Michael's improv teacher?
Who's that?
Robin Williams.
Oh, that would be the greatest thing ever.
Because, like,
but oh, go ahead.
They
go ahead.
Won't acknowledge that it's Robin Williams or looks anything like him or anything like that.
But at the same time, Robin Williams loves Michael.
Oh. He's not like the super annoyed, like,
no.
Michael, when he's got another gun, Robin Williams is just like, oh, he got you.
instead, like, it's like he could even have a smaller cameo. And it's like, yeah, so-and-so wasn't actually here. He couldn't make it tonight. And it turns out, like, the whole reason is because the guy can't stand Michael anymore.
Yeah.
But then he's like, yeah, so-and-so couldn't make it tonight. And then Michael pulls his gun move. And then Robin Williams interrupts like he's going to be upset. And he's like, well, how big of a gun is it? Like, I feel like that would be it. That's how he would, like, encourage Michael almost. And then Michael would fall in love with him, and then he'd be the long-lost, like, improv teacher.
Acting teacher.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
That's what I want. I did have another one, but again, it's a really tough one. And again, it's not to do something that he's already done before.
Yeah.
But at the same time, the joke was obvious, and I think he's pretty well in on the joke, and it is Peter Dinklage, and I want Peter Dinklage to be like a higher up.
His character in Elf.
In Elf. Yeah. That's what I want. I just want it to be, and like he's like the hardest core, like the hardcore, like you cannot joke around with this guy. Like he's super intense. He's the guy who brought on David Wallace because they were friends in college. Like, and like, that's what happened, you know?
Yes.
He brought on the new CFO. He's the COO. I don't know. You know what I mean? Something
just
along those
super
lines.
Super hardcore, no bullshit.
Yeah, absolutely no BS. He's just always on his game. And then he gets to Scranton Branch for some odd freaking reason. And Michael just can't let it go. You know, he just can't let it go. And he gets caught up.
I feel
in,
like it'd be Dwight that couldn't let it go. Like, Dwight would be calling him.
Just oh, like yeah. Dwight, yo, like call. He did with Dwight, Ryan's friend.
Good
friend,
call. Yeah. Oh, my God. Yeah.
Like,
thank
he
you.
He would for sure think that he's like, he's got powers, you know? And like,
yeah.
And his character, Peter Dinklage's character, would just have no patience for it.
Some sort of mind control or whatever.
Yeah.
And we know that Dwight loves and knows Game of Thrones, which is great because that would make that a great, like, late season edition. As a cameo,
yeah,
that would be a great like inside joke to everybody.
Oh my gosh, it'd be so good, man. I just think, and again, it could be anything though. Like he could also just simply be working around the business park. You know, he could just be a guy who works around the business park. He could have a lot of cool roles, or he could be in, like security with Hank, and just anything. You know. I don't know. It's like Hank is super tall, but Peter Dinklage is also there. So like you can't see when Peter Dinklage is there behind the desk or whatever. Like, I don't know. Oh, wait. What if he was one of Dwight's friends from the school?
Oh, man. From fake X-Men
the school. What if he was one of Dwight's friends from the school, the X-Men school? And
what's his power? What's his power, AJ?
Ground vision.
No, damn it.
Why not?
His power is the ability to control the weather really slowly.
Really slowly?
Yeah.
Like he can't make it rain now. But he's going to make it rain on Thursday.
On Thursday.
That sort of stuff.
I like that.
You know, okay, you know who I want? I'm sorry, BJ, I'm gonna jump you again. That's my bad.
Go for it. Yeah.
You know who I want? I want Lin-Manuel Miranda as the director of Andy Sweeney Todd production.
Oh my gosh, yes.
I think he would ham that up so hard.
Yeah. He'd have just the longest scarf on.
Yes.
You know? And he'd be wearing a jacket unironically from Hamilton.
Yes.
And that's what it'd be.
Oh man. I think that would be hysterical.
I love that for you.
And I want Andy to be very arrogant in that situation,
yeah,
where he is like Lin-Manuel Miranda is like giving notes on stuff, and Andy does like the look to the camera with like the jerk off motion, yeah, or something. Yeah. He just rolls his eyes.
It's like the guy's directed a couple of local plays, and like, yeah, he thinks he's hot shit, you know, that kind, yeah, of a thing.
he's the director for their community theater, yeah, production of Sweeney Todd.
Yeah. I guess he came down. What's another town or something like near New York, but not New York? It's like, or he's
Albany's north.
Albany. We'll say Albany. Yeah. He's just like, yeah, he came from Albany. He's directed a couple of off-Broadway plays like that weren't necessarily successful. It's like, so he thinks he can come down here to Scranton.
He thinks he's going to come down here and turn this into Rent.
Holy shit. Yeah, dude. That's great. Oh, man. Well played. Oh, man. All right, BJ. Nick got you skipped, but what do you got, friend?
You know, and it's so stupid, but my last one I was thinking about was, like, what if Seth Green came in as one of Ryan's, like, scumbag friends?
Oh, my God.
The friend he went to Jacksonville with or whatever? Where did he go? Florida?
He went to Fort Lauderdale.
Fort Lauderdale. Yeah. That's right.
Yeah.
Sorry.
And he comes in and he's got his hair like top dyed blonde, just like, you know, Ryan. That's where Ryan from. And he's got the blonde tips and he is just everything you hate about that
Ryan
guy. Like, we'll just call it that guy. Yeah. And
yeah,
it's Seth Green.
And dude, oh my gosh, that would be brilliant.
If it was modern day, he'd be like a big crypto bro.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh man.
But but you never see him. He's never not wearing board shorts.
Oh my God.
Yeah, he's a board shorts guy.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
Always wearing. It doesn't matter what he's wearing on top. And Michael ends up wearing board shorts too.
Yeah, Michael brings board shorts in. Michael dyes his hair blonde, like he was trying to be part of the group, and
inject douchebag Seth Green into my veins in this episode.
Yeah, dude.
Oh, man. Kelly's got a huge crush on him.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man.
Kelly can't decide. Yeah. Like, yeah, she's having a tough time. But
that's Ryan's best friend. His name's Brody.
Brody.
Yeah. Brody. Oh, God.
But he only hits on Aaron.
Yeah.
when they meet him, it's like he hits on Aaron, but Kelly's infatuated. Like,
and yeah, like, and like, yeah, Ellie Kemper's fairly tall and Seth Green's a pretty short guy. I think it would be funny would for be them great to like accentuate that.
Yes.
Every time he's trying to hit on her, he's just like 6 inches shorter than she is.
But full confidence.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh man. God, that would be so good.
I love that. I have one more.
Yeah,
So I think this is kind of into our final ones, yeah, here. So my last one.
We'll do these all day otherwise.
I know. I did have on here to have Hillary Swank as Hillary Swank. But I decided, I was like, well, that's a pretty short-lived one, so that's fine. But what I thought would be a really great opportunity would be having Jason Schwartzman as another Schrute. Moses. Yeah. It would be Moe's cousin, and Moe's talks about him like Dwight talks about Moe's.
Oh, yeah. Shit.
And,
yeah.
And it would be Jason Schwartzman, though.
Even yes, further down the rabbit hole of the Schrute
Correct.
Farms. Like, oh, like, man. He is just so off. Like,
he does exclusively some like real obscure. He grows like radicchio,
or like, yeah, like he's in the Pennsylvania climate. He tries to grow dragon fruit or something. you know, just anything, yes, like that. It, like something really, really strange that he is radicchio. That's a good one. Like he grows. he grows like offshoots of like other like vegetables.
Yeah.
So he does like rutabagas,
palmellos.
He does. He does like green onions or like what are the small ones, like the little shallots. Shallot. He does shallots. Yeah. He does rutabagas. He does like, so he does only exclusively like random styles of certain vegetable.
He
don't know.
He does rhubarb but refuses to sell it to bakeries.
Right.
He believes it can stand on its own without strawberries.
He says it doesn't need to be churched up with sugar. But and he has a very, very, very thick German accent.
Yes.
He has a very thick German accent. And that's what I want. And with probably like with a I'm not saying like a Hitler mustache or anything, but I'm saying like a mustache that's just like outside of his nose, but
yeah,
very sharp with, yes, very bushy eyebrows. Oh, and like, man, that's how I'm envisioning him with his haircut from the Darjeeling Limited or something. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like that is how I'm picturing Jason Schwartzman in this.
Did you know he's Nick Cage's cousin?
Is he really?
Yeah.
Well,
fun fact.
A lot of talent in that family. I get it.
Yeah.
All right, I'll do my last one. We'll stick with the German theme.
Oh boy.
I want really badly for them to have like some other company come in and try and buy them out that's not Saber. And
yeah,
I want it to be a German paper firm, and I want it to be Christoph Waltz.
Oh my God.
I want him to be the guy who handles all of the negotiations, and I want him to just basically be Colonel Hans Landa from Inglourious Basterds.
He just goes from like nice to sinister.
Oh,
instantaneously.
Yeah. Yes.
And like, but Dwight befriends him to some degree.
Yeah.
I want German Dwight to talk with Hans Landa.
Imagine the scene he does in Inglourious Basterds where he's, yes, doing the Italian and like,
oh my,
but
God,
with Dwight's terrible German.
It's mostly industrial and
pre-industrial
religious. Yeah. Religious. He's just trying to keep up.
This was either an incense burner or a ceremonial sarcophagus.
Great. And then, oh man, having Christoph Waltz inside of that office though would be amazing. And
yes,
then just like an absolutely, like, I want him just to the nines, like German, like suit.
I want him to have like very crisp, small circular glasses.
Yeah. Very dark rimmed but circular.
Yes.
He's got like some sort of Freudian like glasses on or something,
yes,
like that. Oh man. And like, and he's gotta have like a leather briefcase. Like that's like a soft briefcase.
I want him to have his own small espresso cup and saucer.
Yeah.
That he drinks from in the office.
That he pulls out of his suitcase.
Yeah. He has some like outrageous thermos that's like,
yes,
very state of the art and sleek.
But very small, just like his matching set of,
yes,
cup. Oh my God. That would be so good. Yeah, like a German company was gonna come in before,
yeah,
Saber, but then something botched it and maybe it was a Scranton branch.
Yeah.
But they didn't allude to it.
Yeah.
You know? So, oh man. Oh, that's super fun, man.
That's God, my that's, last one.
That's super fun.
Yeah. We can
this
do
was
these
a fun
all
episode.
Day.
This is all day, man. Like we could sit around all day. But we can't, and you guys have more to get on with your day, and we had a lot of fun. This is way too easy to riff on, as you've seen, so we want to hear your guys's.
Yeah, please.
We need to hear your fantasy castings. We want to hear your fantasy actors and actresses who are coming into this world. How are they coming into this world? You know, tell us your favorite ones, you know. Why is Ben Schwartz going to walk into this set? You know what I mean? Like, I want to know. I want to know real bad.
If we're going to get the Parks and Rec crossover, I want it to be Jean-Ralphio Saperstein.
Oh my gosh, dude.
Oh, big time.
Dwight is trying to sell them paper for Entertainment 720.
Yeah. And they buy a lot.
Yes.
And they buy a lot. Oh, no.
Shit.
That's
it,
guys.
Makes sense. You got to buy 720,000 reams of paper. Entertainment 720.
Entertainment 720.
All in. All in. And then all hands him a baby. Shrimp cocktail.
Because otherwise, how are they going to print their own money?
Yeah.
Comes full circle, baby. I guess you guys didn't know we are also pretty well versed in some Parks and Rec.
Oh, so. Yes.
New Girl, whatever you got. Guys, we love our TV, but we do love The Office more than anything in this world when it comes to that television. So we hope that you are enjoying it along with us. We really want you guys to keep sending in your fan theories while you're giving us your reviews, your Spotify, your Apple podcast. Shoot over those 5 stars. And if you know what, if you want to give us something lower than that, that's your own prerogative. Just tell us why you did it.
Give me an explanation.
Okay? Tell me why you decided to give us less than 5, all right? I don't know why they're showing up, but they're happening. But you guys go and tell us why. And if you disagree, then you tell them why you disagree.
That's right.
All right? Otherwise, guys, you can make sure to join us next week when we're talking all about...
parties.
Ooh, parties.
It's going to be 4th of July, so we're talking parties. We're going to talk through, you know, Robert California's pool party. We're going to talk through Jim's cookout.
Yeah.
Anything that's 4th of July, parties.
Goodbye,
or parties, period.
Yeah.
I feel like we'll have a decent amount of content to go through on that. We'll talk about good times for your good times and your good vibes for your 4th of July. And then the week after that, we're doing seasons 1 and 2, Dwight.
Dwight.
We're going to get back into some character specific ones.
We want to dive into some characters for sure.
Yeah.
So
talk about some of our favorite, some of our least favorite stuff like we've done with the other characters. But it's going to be all about Dwight Kurt Schrute.
Well, thank you guys again for joining us this week on Scotch and Splenda. Please get at us on social media. You can find us anywhere on Twitter, TikTok, Facebook, Instagram. It's at Scotch Splenda.
If you'd prefer to email us, we've got our email, which is scotchandsplendapodcast@gmail.com. It's all spelled out, no ampersand, no plus, any of that. scotchandsplendapodcast@gmail.com. Or call us in, leave us a voicemail. That's probably our favorite. Leave us one of those so that we can play your voice on air. We would love to hear you. The people who listen would love to hear you. And we say it every week. It goes straight to voicemail. You don't have to talk to anybody. And that number is 319-359-7977. 319-359-7977. Leave us that voicemail.
Perfect. Guys, you can find me anywhere on social media. It's AJAYVENS, AJ Vens, anywhere on social media.
And you can find me, BJ, at I Am The Beach. That's Beach, B-E-E-J, on TikTok and Instagram.
You will find me in most places at Nick Morella. That's N-I-C-K-M-E-R-U-L-L-A. Twitch is probably where you'll see me the most, but you can find me if you dig the whiskey stuff, the beer stuff. You'll find me at Morella Nick on Instagram.
All right. Well, guys, thank you so much again for joining us. And until next time, we will catch you on the flippity flip.
The flippity flip.
On the flippity flip.
Goodbye. Bye.